Bạn có biết bộ định tuyến Wi-Fi của bạn có thể hạn chế tốc độ Internet, đặc biệt nếu nó đã hơn 5 năm tuổi không? Để biết các mẹo thiết lập giúp tối ưu hóa kết nối NBN của bạn, hãy truy cập nbn.com.au/checkyoursetup. nbn.com.au/checkyoursetup.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Coming up, oil tumbles, we're on CPI watch, and the price of stamps set to rise. That's all next. Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Monday, the 25th of May 2026, a day where the Australian share market rose, the S&P ASX 200 up 0.4%. We'll have the details with David Walsh from Sarto Advisory in a few moments, plus details of a proposed stamp price change later in the episode. But first, motorists could benefit from the latest developments in the Middle East as markets react to Donald Trump's comments that a deal between the US and Iran is near. That's despite some of the mixed messaging about just how soon the conflict will end. Brent crude tumbled to below $100 a barrel today to around 98. And so it means it's down more than 7% since this time Friday and back to a 1 month low. But we're also being warned the market won't see oil prices return to pre-conflict levels for a few years. To explain, I spoke with Saul Kanovic, Energy Research Head at MST Financial. And I first asked him, given we've been here before, does the messaging from the president feel any different this time around?
It's not the first time that Trump, and for that matter, parts of the Iranian regime, have said that a deal is near or that the Strait of Hormuz is open, only for it to prove that not to be the case. But it does feel a little bit closer this time, in particular because it has the public backing of a number of Gulf states, with rhetoric from both sides talking about closing the gap. And particularly, it looks like the US might have made some concessions as well. So that's got the oil markets selling off over the course of the weekend. They're down about between 5 and 8% from the trading that we saw on Friday. That will flow through even down to the Bowser over the next coming days. But we're still, you know, this is still very premature, so there's still obviously scope for this peace deal to not materialise, or there's scope for the peace deal to be signed, but it not to be too well adhered to, which is what we've seen through the process of the ceasefire, where the straits remain closed despite notionally Iran saying that it's open. But my main concern would be, even if we assume the most optimistic scenario here, where Iran does largely allow unhindered passage through the strait, let's say starting tomorrow, that's just step one of a very long, complicated process to get oil markets back to normal.
What happens in the lead up to that normal, and what does the new normal look like?
Assuming the best case scenario, and we have a peace deal tomorrow and the strait does genuinely open, it's still going to take a matter of months for flows to get even closer towards pre-war levels. That is because we will need to see if Iran is implementing some kind of permitting system. We'll need to see how that works and is implemented. We'll need to see a normalization of shipping logistics and getting all the ships which are kind of stranded all over the world back to flowing into the strait again. Only once that happens and it actually alleviates some of the oil in storage in the Gulf can production that's been shut in be restarted. That's also a process which can take several weeks. So you add all of that together, and you're looking at probably a 3 to 6 month window to get maybe, you know, 2/3 to 3/4 of the volumes back. Now, beyond that becomes even more challenging because we've got damaged infrastructure and damaged reservoirs in places like Kuwait and Iraq, which could take months longer or even years to repair. And I think what many people sometimes forget is we have lost over the last 3 months in the course of the war over 1 billion barrels of stocks. So we've been living off oil in storage to get through this. Now, once the war ends and flows normalize, we actually need to build those stocks back up. And if anything, we're going to see stocks go even higher than they were prior to the war, because many countries around the world, including the Australian government, now wants to make sure we have more stocks in place so we're never vulnerable to a shock like this again. It's going to take at least a couple of years to replenish all of those stocks, which adds to demand. You put all of that together and the market is going to be fundamentally tighter, not just through 2026, but through 2027 and possibly through to 2028 in the best case scenario. There's no going back to oil prices that we saw in January for at least a couple of years.
So what does it mean then for the outlook for the global economy and for interest rates?
The best case scenario, we will still see oil prices at least stop spiking upwards and temper a little bit. So it means that while we'll still have a crunch point over the next 6 weeks, once we're past that, the worst will be behind us. And I think that could be enough to at least provide some confidence to return to markets in general. And perhaps we can manage through this at a global level without a recession. But that's the best case scenario. Now, if we look at some perhaps more realistic case scenarios, we've done some modeling of this. Ultimately, if there's a deal done, it probably leaves an emboldened, increasingly paranoid Iranian regime in place who will continue to have some level of control over the strait. That suggests the strait opening might be slower and more partial than many are hoping. That could really drag this out and make that 1 billion barrel stock draw closer to 3 billion barrels over the course of the next 6 months, in which case things can be a lot harder. And of course, if the war was to somehow break out again and we saw our infrastructure directly targeted and hit, then we're in a doomsday scenario. Now, I think in either of those scenarios, it becomes quite difficult for us to avoid a recession at a global level. Australia's faring better than elsewhere because of the diplomatic efforts by our government, because of the leverage we have with our LNG exports. But it does get to a point where if the global economy is going to go sour, we're going to have to feel that too.
But finally, I'm assuming we're going to get some sort of resolution in the coming days or in the short term, right? Given that's how the markets are feeling, what does it ultimately mean for motorists? You said earlier on in that first answer where the fall in oil prices that we've seen at the moment is likely to flow through to the bowser. But in the medium to longer term outlook, you know, what kind of levels should motorists be getting used to paying for petrol?
Well, hopefully, if, you know, at least we get the worst behind us, then we won't see our bowser prices up where they were a month ago. But I don't think it's going to get back down to where it was around Christmas. And so we're going to be in between those two points, probably pretty close to the middle would be my best guess. So I think we're just going to have to really accept that. You know, the truth is the only thing that's likely to materially bring oil prices down to those levels we saw at the beginning of the year is if we have such a big global economic correction that it destroys a lot of demand, in which case, you know, yeah, we'll have less pain at the bowser, but we'll be feeling the pain everywhere else in the economy. It's not really a scenario we want to be wishing for.
Bạn có biết bộ định tuyến Wi-Fi của bạn có thể hạn chế tốc độ Internet, đặc biệt nếu nó đã hơn 5 năm tuổi không? Để biết các mẹo thiết lập giúp tối ưu hóa kết nối NBN của bạn, hãy truy cập nbn.com.au/checkyoursetup. nbn.com.au/checkyoursetup.
Hi, it's Noor Haider, one of the hosts of The Guardian's daily news podcast, Full Story. Every weekday, we bring you a single story, going beyond the headlines and taking you closer to The Guardian's journalism. Combining personal storytelling with analysis, we take you inside the stories that matter most. For fearless, independent reporting that holds power to account, listen to Full Story from The Guardian, wherever you get your podcasts.
That's all Kanavik there, Energy Research Head at MST Financial. Now, this comes as the Australian Institute of Petroleum says the national average for a litre of unleaded reached almost $1.86 last week. While that's up just 1.2 cents, it's down from a peak of $2.53 earlier in the year. But don't forget, the latest figure still includes the government's temporary halving of the fuel excise. Let's go back to the Australian share market now, which rose 0.4% today on the S&P ASX 200, 8,692, driven by the materials and IT sector. Gold stocks did particularly well. Whitehaven Coal surged around 9% following a mine accident in China. The banks were mixed, but energy had a bad day. Woodside down 4.2%. Viva Energy lost 5.6%. That's as that oil price fell. And the Australian dollar buying 71.66 at the close of the share market. For more, I spoke with David Walsh from Sato Advisory.
Yeah, over the weekend, we've got more news about another peace deal. We've had comments, obviously, from President Trump, but also there's some talk from the Iranians as well that they are working their way through a deal. So we start the week with a bit of optimism. You'll recall towards the end of last week or month to date, the Australian share market's been a bit of a laggard, so we're a bit of a catch-up today.
But it seems like there's always optimism, right? And we've seen Trump say before, hey, we're close to a deal with Iran. Does it feel different this time, though?
No, not really. I mean, if you look through the key news websites, there's conflicting headlines already. So even post the optimism over the weekend, you know, even in the last few hours, we're starting to see a bit of a walk back. We've got a lot of work to do. The blockade will continue. So it's really hard and the optimism may be fleeting. But commodity markets are reacting. We've seen a sharp drop in the oil price. And, you know, there's a good rally in the Japanese stock market today, which is a high beta market. So there are signs that others are feeling optimistic about a deal this time.
And so how is all of that optimism actually flowing through to the Australian share market? What are we seeing?
Yeah, it's a bit mixed today. I'd say the resources are probably the strongest driver out there, mixed in the banks, a little bit of interest in the growth sectors, but there's no clear driver today. There's some news out of a mining accident in China in a major coal mine that's driving the coal sector higher. Obviously, with oil down, energy stocks are weaker here in Australia, so it's a bit of a mixed bag.
Okay, so now onto something else. You've had almost 2 weeks to look through the implications of the federal budget. Obviously, tax reform, a real big issue there. How do you see it affecting the share market? And, I mean, I don't know if you can tell me or share any insights into what your clients may be asking you as a result.
Yeah, look, it's difficult. And we've had a lot of conversations over the last couple of weeks, both with clients and other experts in our network. The short answer is that there's no set solution that we think fits everyone at the moment. And we really want to wait and see what the draft legislation looks like there. And every day there seems to be another article that comes out that creates more confusion and fear around it. So we're just hoping for some further clarification. What we do see today, and a few mentions of this have been around the auction clearance rates and what's happening in the property market. We're watching that quite closely, and obviously the banks, being such a large part of the stock market in Australia, have exposure to the investment changes there. I was just reading, you know, the investors accounted for, investors in the property markets were 39% of new loans in 2025. So it really is a significant drive for the banks. And if we start to see a slowdown there, that can impact their earnings. And potentially we could see some of the valuation premiums come off there. So that's a significant watch for the share market. But in terms of changing asset allocations at this stage, it's not really the budget that we're focused on. And how that impacts at this stage.
All right. So with everything we've discussed, what are you telling your clients more broadly, and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Yeah, it's interesting. So we've been looking at the growth sectors that have been deemed as AI losers for a little while now, and starting to see some of the earnings come through or getting some updates there. And I'm not sure when this will be resolved, but we're seeing that the earnings are coming through okay, and the share prices have derated a lot. So we're looking selectively to continue to get involved there. This week will be interesting to see where the inflation numbers come out. We have both in the US, the core PCE price index, I think, is out on Wednesday, and then CPI in Australia on Thursday. I would expect that both of those numbers are higher and stronger. And, you know, we've seen a pull forward of expectations for a rate rise in the US. After last week's unemployment number in Australia, there's not much of an expectation of a rate rise in Australia now. But if we get a really strong inflation number, we could see that come back in. So we're just thinking through those asset allocation issues around a continually high inflation outlook, as well as what opportunities are already pricing in a dire outcome there. So it's quite a fluid conversation at the moment. I have been allocating more to equities, but looking for those unloved opportunities where the businesses are strong.
It's David Walsh there from Sato Advisory. And a quick one, if you're a user of the Post Box, it'll soon cost you $1.85 to buy a stamp to post a standard letter. That's up 15 cents. The ACCC says it won't oppose a planned increase by Australia Post across a number of services. Now, it's to help stem the ongoing decline in letter volumes, which are at levels not seen in Australia since the late 1930s. Less than 3% of letters are sent by consumers, the rest by business and government. There'll now be a final round of consultations with a 30-day notice period to be given before the changes are applied. The price of concession and Christmas card stamps, though, will remain unchanged and the same as they've been for more than a decade. And that wraps the podcast for this Monday. Give it a like, a review, and subscribe if you enjoy it. And don't forget, you can watch On The Money during the 6:30 weekday edition on SBS World News on SBS. The podcast returns tomorrow. It drops after the market close every weekday, and I'll catch you then. This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only and should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decisions.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Bạn có biết bộ định tuyến Wi-Fi của bạn có thể hạn chế tốc độ Internet, đặc biệt nếu nó đã hơn 5 năm tuổi không? Để biết các mẹo thiết lập giúp tối ưu hóa kết nối NBN của bạn, hãy truy cập nbn.com.au/checkyoursetup. nbn.com.au/checkyoursetup.